Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, number 423, Samvatsara. The common use of this word is to mean a year, which is called Vatsara or Samvatsara. Often the word or the prefix sam put before a word, the word it may not change the meaning very much, as in kirtan, samkirtan. So samvatsara, complete year. Now there are many names are given. Kala is one important name of Vishnu, which has just been given. Yugadikrit, he who makes the yugas, makes them go around. Yugadi, and then that means all the different phases of time. Time can be, as we find in the third canto of Bhagavatam, time, there are many measurements of time, from the very smallest up to the whole of the time of the universe, and they all go on under the direction of Krishna. Krishna is time. So Vatsara, a year. This is, among all the units of time, a very important unit of time, because it means a complete cycle of seasons. Ritu, that name also recently came up. That's also a measure of time. But Samvatsara, a year, means one complete cycle of the seasons, and it is that by which generally lives are measured. Every living being lives for 100 years. You may say, well, my father died at the age of 67. But that 100 years, that is the approximation for every living being. In this Kali Yuga, every human being. And, of course, the year is different according to the place of residence. So Brahma also lives for 100 years, but his 100 years are very long. His each year is very long. So we can remember in the passing of time, this is Krishna. In the course of time, also time is that factor in which one at the appropriate time receives the results of one's various activities. So it may be that for some time one is very prosperous, then all of a sudden you lose everything, or gradually you lose everything, or one may go through. Also there are astrological periods one goes through, one may go through a very difficult patch in one's life, nothing seems to work properly, and then everything goes very well, due to the different astrological influences. But the basic unit of time is the year. That is Krishna, we can remember, as we make our new year resolutions. The Gregorian calendar year, that is of 2014, will be finished in less than 2 weeks. And there's a tradition. This is the predominant calendar in the world at the present time. And there is a tradition in the Western countries where this calendar originated to make a New Year's resolution, something good, how to improve my life in the next year, something I vow to do to improve my life. So anyway, at the time of initiation, devotees take the important vow. Diksha kale bhakta kare atma samarpan. At the time of initiation, a devotee takes the vow to surrender his life to Krishna. So we can re-vow to do that. And within the broad context of surrendering to Krishna, we can also take up some other vow if we wish. Actually, vows are usually taken up, the sankalpa, that is at the beginning of some particular austerity we may do for some time. For instance, in the month of Kartik, at the beginning of the month, or just before the month, when we should make a sankalpa, I will do this, 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 I will eat only very simple food, it has to be defined. What exactly that simple food is, what I'll refrain from, and all for the pleasure of Krishna. Other meanings, one who resides in the Patala Loka, at the bottom of the universe. If we go to the bottom of the universe, we'll find Krishna. If we go to the top of the universe, we'll find Krishna. If we go in the 10 directions, we'll find Krishna. If we're devotees. If we're not, we won't find him anywhere. Because he doesn't reveal himself to everyone. So this residing on the couch of Ananta, Ananta Shesha, he's just lying there. This Parashara Bhatta, the great Sri Vaishnava commentator, has given from the previous name, Ugra, that for several names, he gives these names to be particularly associated with Kalki Avatar. So Ugra is quite clear, a terrible form of the Lord, comes as Kalki. But what about he who's lying on the couch of Ananta? He doesn't seem to be very terrible. Well, he's just waiting, that's all. Just waiting to come as Kalki. That's how Parashara Bhatta says. He's relaxing now, but he's getting ready to come. Just like in any battle, going on over many days, Kurukshetra war, at night, the different warriors would relax. They might even entertain each other. And they seem to be very relaxed and peaceful, but they're just getting ready for another day of bloody carnage. That's quite amazing in Vedic culture, how the Kshatriyas, they have an ongoing battle. At night they'll dine with each other and joke, and then the next day they'll do their best to kill each other. They may actually kill each other. What is that? Grihe praptam vishvasto akuto bhayam. Grihe praptam. I can't remember the third word. Anyone who comes to your home, he should be received. He should not feel any fear or discomfort. Should feel quite trusting, even if the enemy. Grihe praptam shatrumapi. Even if one's enemy comes to one's home, he should be received in such a way that he feels quite comfortable and like this. Then Shankaracharya, he gives the meaning. Samvatsra samvasanti, all living beings reside in him, which is there are different names here, Niketana, the house, different names in Vishnu Sahasranama, which gives the same meaning. So I won't dilate on it here. Mayata tamidang sarvam jagada vyakta martira. Matsthani sarvabhutan. Matsthani sarvabhutan means all living beings reside in me. Baladev Vidyabhushan, he gives the meaning that he always remains with his devotees. He always resides with his devotees. Actually, he's with everyone. But others, they don't recognize him. They can't perceive him. He's particularly concerned with his devotees. Nahaṁ tiṣṭhāmi vaikuṇṭhe yoginām hṛdyeṣu vā yatra gayanti madbhakta tatra tiṣṭhāmi nārada. He says, I don't reside in Vaikuṇṭha. Although he does reside in Vaikuṇṭha. Otherwise there'd be no meaning to Vaikuṇṭha. Imagine, that's what the demons want. They want to go to, they want the kingdom of God without God. They want to make life very peaceful and happy. All this idea we shall make the world peaceful, it's demoniac, actually. If they want to make the world peaceful without Krishna. So that's actually demoniac. Just like Ravana was living very peacefully in Lanka. He was a great demon. So undoubtedly Vishnu resides in Vaikuntha. Otherwise there's no meaning to Vaikuntha. You go back to Godhead and there's no God. Well, for the materialistic religionists, they'd like that. We'll just enjoy the facilities of God. But the devotees, they want to go there because he's there. It's not because it's blissful, there's no birth and death. Well, the bliss comes from Krishna being there. There, in Vaikuntha, there are flower aeroplanes, and the men and women are all very beautiful. the women are far more beautiful than the apsaras of heaven, who are far more beautiful than the women here. I just read something that Srila Prabhupada had said, that in the heavenly planets, we're not talking about Vaikuntha here, we're talking about the heavenly planets, the apsaras, their natural bodily scent, they don't put on perfume, but their natural bodily scent is such that you can smell them from a long distance. It's a very beautiful smell, not a bad smell. And when they bathe in the pond, the whole pond becomes scented. But they're not very beautiful compared to the women of Vaikuntha. But what is the use of Vaikuntha without Vishnu? Then there's no meaning. So definitely he resides in Vaikuntha, but he says, I don't reside, because he wants to make the point. Yogi naam hridaye shuva. I don't reside in the hearts of the yogis. But he's in the hearts of the yogis, otherwise why are they performing yoga? But he makes the point, yatra gayanti madbhakta tatra tishtami. I reside where my devotees are singing. He said, and singing means they're not singing some nonsense song, but when the devotees sing, they sing about Krishna. Now, the next name is Daksha. You may be surprised, because generally we think of Daksha as Daksha Prajapati, who the narration of whom doesn't come off so very well in Srimad Bhagavatam. He severely insults Lord Shiva, for which he gets his head cut off. He's not very fond of Narada Muni and curses Narada Muni. Nevertheless, he's a great personality. But the much greater personality is Vishnu, who's called Daksha. Srila Prabhupada gives the meaning of the name Daksha in relationship to Prajapati Daksha as expert. And that he's very expert in sexual activities. But the prime meaning that's given by the commentating acharyas here is that he's very quick in action. So Parashara Bhatta, he says that like the Kalki avatar, he's very quick in destroying all the demons. And particularly we can remember in this regard about Parashuram, it said that his chopper was moving so quickly that just in a second he'd decapitate thousands of wicked kshatriyas, moving faster than the speed of mind. Yeah. he would decapitate all the kshatrabandhus, those who are supposed to be kshatriyas, but not really properly acting as kshatriyas, being envious of the brahmanas. So, he's very quick in coming to the rescue of his devotees. And later on, when this comes as name, this same name, Daksha, will come as name 917. At that point, Parashara Bhatta, he gives the meaning of him being very fast, that he gives one example. He came very quickly to the rescue of Gajendra, even though he's an animal, but he's a devotee. And then another commentator, sub-commentator on Parashara Bhatta's commentary said that Vishnu was coming to rescue Gajendra, coming on the back of Garuda, but he wasn't satisfied that Garuda was going fast enough, so he got down from the back of Garuda and he carried Garuda and came much quicker. He was impatient. He wanted to come quickly because his devotee was suffering, calling out. Devotees, they sometimes say, when will I get the mercy? So that's a good prayer. Samutkanta, one should be very anxious to attain the mercy of Krishna. Sometimes we think, well, I've been chanting Hare Krishna 20 years. When will that mercy come? But actually it will come very quickly. Our lives in Kali Yuga, prayam alpayushas, the first symptom mentioned in the Bhagavatam about Kali Yuga is that people have short lives. Mostly people have short lives. So we think that, oh, I've been chanting Hare Krishna 20 years. We think that's a very long time. And well, just think of Vishwamitra meditating for 60,000 years. So we think it's a very long time. Seems to us like a very long time, but actually it's not very long. Very quickly, Krishna will deliver us. We should have that faith. Or even if he doesn't quickly deliver us, anyway, we're completely surrendered to him. But the fact is that he will quickly deliver. He doesn't. Krishna will test us in various ways to see how sincere and serious we are, but he doesn't delay delivering his devotees who are very sincere and determined in his service. He doesn't make it unnecessarily difficult, or he's very eager to deliver his devotees. So this meaning, expert, of course, the word expert is best applied to Krishna. Different people are expert in different things. there's so many different things that one can do. One can be expert in writing computer programs. One can be expert in writing computer viruses. One can be expert in building temples. We trust that the architect, the Sthapati, overseeing this is expert. He's engaged in that because he's... Not that everyone's expert in building temples. If you ask me how to build a temple, I wouldn't have the faintest idea what to do. I would. I'd call a Sthapati. That's otherwise, someone is expert in cooking chapatis. Someone is expert in insulting others. There are so many areas in which one can be expert in. Krishna is the all-round expert in everything. So you think that the greatest batsman is Krishna? And he said the word all-round here in India. We think of the word all-round, that applies to cricket, especially. That means they're good in bowling and batting, is it? And fielding, when they're not bowling. So, but Krishna doesn't waste his time with useless things like that. He gives the ability to others to do that if they want to waste their life in that particular way. But he doesn't do such things. Expert in insult, yes, he can be also. just like we find in the Nectar of Devotion. He insulted this Kala. Krishna is Kala, time. There's another Kala described in Bhagavatam, the Yavana Kala. This Kala, it seemed that he had insulted Krishna by saying, Krishna means black, so he's just like a black snake. And Krishna said, yes, I'm a black snake, and I'm going to swallow up that frog called the Kala. So, we find in the pastimes in Vrindavan also that especially among Krishna and the gopis, they're very expert at trading insults with each other in the love play. So that's not seriously insulting others, but that's all part of the love play. So Krishna, he's all around expert in everything. Otherwise, how could this world go on? It's so expertly organized. Samvatsara, the year goes around with the seasons. Everything is perfectly in place. The scientists have discovered more than 20 what they call constants, various constants, that speed of light should be just as it is, gravitational force, the weak force within electron, the strong force within an atom, sorry. This should all be, it has to be exactly just as it is for the universe to function as we see it, as it's functioning. So these are all extremely fine-tuned. Who could have arranged? Only Krishna, so expert. Baladev Vidyabhushan gives another meaning. The derivation of it, I can't understand. His supreme handsomeness is revealed to the residents of Vrindavan. Shankaracharya says, Pravriddha, immensity, bigness, great, strength, and quickly doing activities. These three qualities particularly qualify a person as daksha, and they are inherent in the Supreme Person, who is Krishna. The next name is Vishrama, which means rest. It's a common word. Do you have that in Tamil? Vishram? No? It comes in every other Indian language, I would guess. In Telugu also. It's a very common word. So he is the place of rest. Daksha means he's very quick and expert in activities. He's also the place of rest. He's resting at the bottom of the universe, and all living beings can rest in him. So this name is like Ashraya or Sharana. It means we can take shelter in him. We are looking for, we want relief from this world, life of toil, life of distress. Krishna offers that. One of the commentators, he says that Bhagavan created night after day so that everyone can rest. Of course, in the modern age, we have electricity, so people go on working all through the night. The electricity has made life more troublesome. Anyway, people are working. But with electricity, there are with so much light available, then people can go. The people who want you to work, they'll make a situation where people go on working day and night. They invest so much in machines, just like in Surat, in Gujarat, there are so many spinning machines for cloth. not spinning, weaving. So to make a factory with that is a big investment. So to get the return on the investment, the machines, they go on working 24 hours a day. That's a common thing. Factories, they work 24 hours a day because there's so much in investment and in that. So to get their return and to if the machines need to be productive, it's not just that by buying the machine you're going to make anything. They have to be busy. So they keep the machines running 24 hours a day. That means people have to work throughout the clock. It's a common thing. People work at night. Otherwise, Krishna's arrangement is that people don't work at night. The only people who work at night are thieves. not all thieves do night shift, but many of them do. And watchmen, they also do. And the tantrics, they also like to be awake at night. They're doing their magic, their black magic. And maybe some sadhus who have conquered over sleeping, they'll also. Otherwise, people, women, they may be awake at night with their babies crying. Otherwise, the natural course is rest. So after strain and stress, when we feel, now I can take rest, then we can think, this is Krishna. I remember once, many years ago, this must be more than 30 years ago, one sannyasi came to Bangkok, where I was in Thailand, where I was stationed at the time. So we met him at the airport, and we asked him, would he like to come, take bath, or would he like to speak to the devotee? He said, please, just let me take rest. He said, I came from America to Japan. I was several days in Japan. I was still jet lagged. And he came from Japan to Bangkok. And then he did, in Japan, it had been day and night. I remember sometimes like that in some places. The GBC comes for just a short time. And then it's because there's so much to discuss, so many things to do, we'll be going on in the daytime, meeting people, evening programs, and then we go on late into the night discussing various things, and then up in the morning. So he was exhausted, and he deliberately scheduled this stop so he could take a little rest before going on to the GBC meetings in India. So just he was there for one day and just rested. That's all. And when he came and came to take rest, you could see it was such a relief. So that was Rameshwar. He probably wouldn't remember that. So that sense of relief, that is Krishna. And the ultimate relief is from the terrible repetition of birth and death. Now we're free. We hear about people being whipped and tortured and the nails being pulled out, all horrible things. This whole material life is one big torture, that's all. Sometimes we are actually tortured, and other times we may be feeling very comfortable, but actually this whole material existence is just like a torture. So relief is in Krishna. Of course, we take rest, but then again we have to wake up and go to work. So the real rest is not, the real relief is not in this material world at all. In the Christian tradition, they put on someone's gravestone R.I.P., which is for some Latin term, but it means rest in peace. The idea is that after a hard lifetime, they can just rest until the day of judgment. There's a funny theology, I won't get into it. But people think that they'll get some rest at the end of life, but that's Well, for someone who's lived a pious life, then they get relief from all that toil of their life. Life is, if one lives actually a responsible life, as one should do, then there's not much rest in a responsible life. That one has to be active. Brahmana, we may think, well, he's just doing some prayers and this and that, but he's very busy. Traditional Brahmana, they're like, they don't even eat until midday. They get up early in the morning and then they're busy all morning with various activities of puja and offering prayers and so many things in traditional. And Kshatriya must also be very busy. If he's not busy, then the administration of the state will not be conducted properly. The Vaishya must be busy in producing grains, looking after cows, or business, or whatever he's doing. And the Shudra has to be busy. Everyone has to be busy. But in the spiritual world, there's only play. So it's a relief. Krishna offers that relief. When we feel cold, and then we get some heat. Now in North India, it'll be very cold, especially in the nighttime, early morning. So people just like night watchmen, they'll gather some rubbish and some leaves together and make fires and warm themselves and get some relief from that. Or in the hot season, if we can find a cool place, that's more apt for Tamil Nadu to speak of that. So all this relief, when we feel any relief from any distressing situation, the Radha Krishna Shastri, commenting on this name, he says we can know this is a representation of Krishna. Krishna arranges that. All living beings rest in him at the time of devastation of the universe. Everything merges into him. So in that way also, everyone gets a rest and gets recharged. Yeah. Word Vishram is derived from the word Shram. Shram means hard work. And Vishram means no hard work. So for those who are very tired of this material existence and activities and the burden of their sins, they can take shelter in Krishna. Baladev Vidyabhushan, he gives the meaning that during the rasa dance, when the gopis were feeling very tired, that's described in Bhagavatam, Krishna just wiped their foreheads. And by the touch of his transcendental hand, all the fatigue just went away. And then they went to become refreshed by bathing in the Yamuna. So that's a very nice remembrance of how Krishna relieves the fatigue of his devotees. So that's all I'll say for now, as I didn't prepare any more. Hare Krishna. Any question about this? No. All right then. Hare Krishna.